Bon anno, pals of the podcast. Self-care and self-love is the Morologue mantra for 2024, and I'm talking 24/7, 365. You like what I did there? Part of my self-care strategy this year is 10K before 10A. Hey, I'm coming off a banner 2023 in terms of getting my steps in. I averaged 12,400 steps or 5 miles a day in the year that was. And now, to kick off 2024, already off to a stellar start. Came in at 10,600 steps before 10 a.m. this morning. So a lot more successful in the self-care department than I was singing last night at midnight. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne? Now, I know I'm not the only one who doesn't know the rest of the lyrics. I found out there are actually 5 verses to Auld Lang Syne. It's been deemed by music historians to be the most famous song that nobody knows. Auld Lang Syne is a piece of the long oral tradition of getting drunk and belting out a tune. Well, I wasn't drunk, but I sounded like it last night. It is the title and key phrase of a 1788 Scottish poem by Robert Rabbie Burns, typically sung on New Year's Eve around the world. Now, the phrase, Auld Lang Syne, which literally translates to old long since, basically means days gone by in the Scots language. Or, as Merriam-Webster explains, the Auld Lang Syne meaning is the good old times. If the Auld Lang Syne meaning has to do with remembering days gone by, the song must reminisce about the good old days, right? Well, sort of. The original 5-verse version of the poem essentially gets people singing, "Let's drink to days gone by," an appropriate toast for the new year. As Scots immigrated around the world, they took the song with them. Eventually, North American English speakers translated Burns' dialect into the common lyrics we know today, made famous in part by Guy Lombardo and his band, the Royal Canadians. The group performed the song on New Year's Eve from 1929 until about 1977. And yeah, it's the version that plays every year after the ball drops in Times Square. From the Royal Canadians, it's time to talk about the Italian-Canadian Society. Yes, I rang in the new year with family and friends at the Langley Event Center in my native British Columbia as part of the aforementioned Italian-Canadian Society's New Year's Eve bash. Proudly Italiano, fiercely Canadian. And the same land my parents came from is where on January 1, 45 BC, the Julian calendar took effect for the first time by edict of Roman consul Julius Caesar. The Julian calendar also introduced an extra day every 4 years, what we now call leap years, like 2024 will be, but overestimated the length of a solar year by some 11 minutes. The Julian calendar would be co-opted throughout many parts of Europe as the Roman Empire expanded, but its New Year's Day didn't stick everywhere. For much of medieval Christian Europe, Christmas Day, December 25, marked the start of a new year, while in some other countries it fell on March 25th as part of the Feast of the Annunciation. But the Julian calendar's 11-minute error would have a cumulative effect over years. By the mid-15th century, it was off the solar cycle by an additional 10 days. The Catholic Church noticed this mismatch. And in the 1570s, Pope Gregory XIII introduced a new calendar that would address the discrepancy by making it so that no centurial year, i.e. 1700, gets the extra leap day unless the year is divisible by 400, i.e. 2000. The Gregorian calendar also formalized January 1st as the start of every new year. Much of the world came to accept the Gregorian calendar, noted for its accuracy. Still, Great Britain and its American colonies did not quickly adopt it, refusing to recognize the authority of the Pope. For nearly 200 years, Britons used both calendars and dated documents twice. By 1752, however, the two calendars were off by 11 days, and Parliament in London relented to abandoning the Julian calendar. Even in many countries where the Islamic calendar or lunar calendar are culturally more prominent, the Gregorian calendar has now been widely adopted as the international standard civil calendar for governments and businesses. And in terms of the global population, business is indeed picking up. The world's population grew by more than 75 million people last year. That's up 0.95% from New Year's Day 2023, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Today, this very day, the population is expected to reach a little over 8 billion. While mainstream media bombards us with bad news, the Morlog is all about sharing the good news on this blue marble we call home. Personally, my fair lady, Florida Carpet Sales, recently found out she is cancer-free. And while her immune system needs boosting, she is going to kick culo in the year ahead. And speaking of that, Big C, European cancer mortality for 2023, it was estimated to be 6.5% lower for men and almost 4% lower for women than in 2018. The United States reported cancer death rates have fallen by a third in the last three decades. Australia reported significant reductions in skin cancer in under 40s. There were major breakthroughs in treatments for colon, skin, bladder, and cervical cancer. And Pfizer announced that it would offer all patented cancer drugs at cost to 1.2 billion people in low-income countries. A malaria vaccine is the holy grail of global health, and we have been trying to create one for over 70 years. And now, we're about to unleash not one, but two of them against a disease that infects 247 million people and kills 500,000 children every year. That is more than 1,000 deaths of children every day. The first vaccine, Mosquirix, started arriving in 9 African countries this past year. It reduces severe malaria by 22% and reduces deaths from all causes by 13%. And in October, the WHO approved a second, cheaper version called R21/Matrix-M, which UNICEF will start distributing to millions of kids in 2024. Hey, crime plummeted in the United States. Shocking, right? Initial data suggests that murder rates for 2023 are down by almost 13%, one of the largest ever annual declines. And every major category of crime except auto theft has declined too, with violent crime falling to one of the lowest rates in more than half a century, and property crime falling to its lowest level since the 1960s. Also, the country's prison population is now 25% lower than its peak in 2009, and a majority of states have reduced their prison populations by more than that, including New Jersey and New York, who have reduced prison populations by more than half in the last decade. Hey, in July of last year, the World Health Organization released new data on access to drinking water, sanitation, and hygiene, highlighting one of the least known success stories in global development. Between 2000 and 2022, 2.1 billion, with a B, have gained access to safe drinking water, while 2.5 billion have gained access to safely managed sanitation. So plenty to cheer about, plenty to celebrate in 2023. And of course, lots to celebrate if your sports team or your favorite athlete conquers their craft. And on the final day of 2023 in the sports world, we saw San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy now stand alone atop the San Francisco 49ers list of single-season passing leaders. Purdy broke the 49ers' single-season record for passing yards in their 27-10 victory over the Washington Commanders. Purdy threw for 220 yards to finish with 4,280 and surpass CFL alum Jeff Garcia's previous mark of 4,278 set in 2000. The player picked last in the 2022 NFL draft. Purdy has now thrown for more yards in a season than Garcia and two Hall of Famers in Joe Montana and Steve Young. It was a nice rebound game for Purdy, who also threw two TD passes as the 49ers clinched the number one seed in the NFC and home field advantage throughout the postseason shortly after the Philadelphia Eagles were upset by the Arizona Cardinals. The 49ers were coming off a, well, Christmas night crushing defeat against the Baltimore Ravens, but Purdy was Purdy good. Hey, from the gridiron to the ice, the Boston Bruins, who went 32-9-4 on the road in 2023, became the first team in NHL history to capture 32 regular season road victories in a single calendar year. Meanwhile, Colorado's Nathan MacKinnon, who registered two assists, he concluded his December by setting a franchise benchmark for points in a calendar month, and he finished the year with a league-leading 53 goals, 82 assists, and 135 points in the 365 days that comprised the year gone by. In music news from OnThisDay.com, January 1st, 1962, the Beatles, scruffy, clad in leather and unknown outside their hometown of Liverpool, they traveled through snow in a van for 220 miles to make a recording audition in London. And guess what? They were turned down. In charge at the Decca Studios where the audition was held was senior A&R man Dick Rowe. His assistant, Mike Smith, had seen the Fab Four perform at what was to become the famous Cavern Club, and he had put forward the audition suggestion to their manager, Brian Epstein. Now, it lasted about an hour, and the Beatles, John Lennon, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, and the original drummer, Pete Best, performed 15 songs. Yeah, they were nervous. In the session, it didn't go particularly well, but Smith told them afterwards that he saw no problems and they would have a decision in a few weeks. Well, Epstein let the few weeks pass, then, fed up with waiting, phoned Rowe and asked for a decision. It wasn't what he expected. Groups with guitars are on the way out. One of the more infamous quotes in music history, and it was allegedly said by Rowe, adding that he believed the Beatles have no future in show business. Rowe, who passed away in 1986, always denied the story, saying it was actually Mike Smith who turned down the Beatles. Another group, Brian Poole and the Tremolos, also had an audition on the same day. And according to Rowe, he said, and I quote, "I told Mike he'd have to decide between them. It was up to him, the Beatles or the Tremolos." He said, "They're both good, but one's a local group. The other comes from Liverpool. We decided it was better to take the local group. We could work with them more easily and stay closer in touch." Whoever made the decision, Rowe went on to redeem himself by subsequently signing, among others, little bands you may have heard of, the Rolling Stones, the Animals, the Moody Blues, the Small Faces, and a guy named Tom Jones. Now, on musical grounds, guess what? Maybe it was the right verdict that Decca denied the Beatles in 1962, because years later, George Martin, The Beatles' legendary producer at EMI said that he too would have turned them down on the basis of the mediocre Decca audition tape. Well, today's motivation comes from the actress Judy Garland. She was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She said, "Well, we have a whole new year ahead of us, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all be a little more gentle with each other, a little more loving, and have a little more empathy? And maybe next year at this time, we'd like each other a little more." Can I get an amen? Nicely said, Ms. Garland. Hey, the first Morlogue of the new year concludes with a keyboard warrior version of Last Night by Morgan Wallen. It's the longest running number one song of the year gone by, and it was on top in 2023 for 16 weeks. Thank you for listening to the Morlogue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, Mora Juana is the shit.